Welcome to the Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast, produced by OOT Social Health, where the focus is on exploring the essential elements that drive organizational success, human-centric leadership. Hosted by Adjoa Boahidi, principal of AKB Talent Edge.
Welcome to the Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast. My name is Tiagi Delanerol, and I'm going to be your host today. Today, I'll be speaking with Madeline Desjardins, Global Senior Director of Internal Communications and Employee Engagement at WalkMe. We're going to be discussing fostering a connected workforce at the intersection of communication, culture, and employee engagement. Madeline helps drive employee engagement and builds inclusive cultures through strategic communication and innovative engagement initiatives. This episode will highlight Madeline's approach to aligning internal communications with DEI values, creating meaningful employee experiences, and ensuring that every team member feels informed, valued, and inspired. Madeline is passionate and she's a driven leader in internal communications, employee engagement, and culture building. With over a decade of experience, Madeline has successfully guided global organizations through major transitions, including mergers, IPOs, and acquisitions, along with crisis communications. As the Global Senior Director of Internal Communications and Employee Engagement at WalkMe, Madeline leads a dynamic employee experience team dedicated to fostering transparency, connection, and inclusivity for employees worldwide. Her team's initiatives encompass everything from global and functional communications and strategic global town hall sessions to community-focused events and wellness programs and DEI-driven employee resource groups projects. Today, we'll discuss Madeline's journey, her expertise in crafting strategic communications, and her vision for creating an engaged, connected workforce. Welcome, Madeline.
Thank you so much for that beautiful introduction. Really,
you're absolutely welcome. You know, at the Employee Wellbeing Council, we love to focus on the human-centric side of things. And so in that vein, we are going to kick things off with a couple questions from the Proust questionnaire. Now, Marcel Proust, the French essayist and novelist, believed that these questions really got to the person's true character. So, to begin things, which talent would you most like to have, Madeline?
Yeah, this one is so interesting because there's so many things that come to mind. But I was really thinking about it, and I think it's the power of compromise. It's something that I love to do anyway, just bringing people together to compromise to find something that's kind of a mutually beneficial outcome. In today's world, more than ever, I think there's a little bit of the art of the compromise has been lost. And so just really being able to do that really well, both in business and in personal life, I think that would be a talent that I would very much like to have.
I love that. And, you know, another way to reframe that, right, is also like finding that win-win-win for everyone involved, I think is also so great. And I think, you know, when you're saying compromise, do you think that ties in with the win-win?
Yeah, absolutely, right? It's all how you look at it. And I like the word compromise because it almost implies that you're going to have to give something up. We don't want to do that anymore. We just want to win. And I think there's a little bit of something where like there is always going to be, you know, the best way to get to a win-win-win, but also understanding that sometimes you're going to have to lose a little bit of something for the greater good. And what does that look like? And how do we really enable ourselves to do that all over the place in our lives and see what happens and see what richness might come, because there's a win on the other side of a compromise that you might not have even thought of, right?
That's so true, right? No pain, no gain. So yeah. There's a little bit of pain and then there's going to be some gain along the way. There you go. Okay, well, if you were to die and come back as a person or thing, what would it be?
This one's a little silly, but my boyfriend and I constantly joke, one of his friends said it, and I think about it all the time, that if we ever came back, we'd want to come back as one of our dogs. We have three extremely spoiled French bulldogs, and they complain a lot, but their lives are pretty much just napping and eating and getting cuddles. And I think that might be a nice future life. I love to, you know, have the complexity of being a human, but I think it might be nice to be like a puppy and just relax for another lifetime.
Yeah, it sounds lovely, right? Why not? Why not laze about and get cuddles and food whenever? It sounds like a great aspiration.
Right? I'll be George the Frenchie next time. So
there you go. Okay. How now, like, just getting into a little bit of your work and strategic communication for connection. So how do you ensure that global communication strategies resonate across diverse teams and regions?
This is so key. And I work with so many wonderful humans all across the globe. I work for WalkMe, and we're global. We have over 9 different office locations, let alone even more countries where we have employees. And so really the key to thinking about a global team, and whether you're communicating or doing engagement, all of it, it's about thinking globally, which is a little cheesy, but it's this global and local put together, right? What are the global needs of your company? But then on top of that, what is your company's identity? How are you creating this truly global corporate function where you have your values, you have your leadership team, you've got global events and initiatives, you've got global recognition programs, maybe a global intranet where you're keeping all your information? How are you connecting as one team with one shared identity and really looking at that from a global scale? So at WalkMe, one of our values is working as one WalkMe. So that means that no matter where you're at, whether you're in Tel Aviv, Tokyo, London, San Francisco, anywhere in between, you are part of Team WalkMe. So you're feeling that identity. You're feeling really part of something bigger. But then at the same time, the reality is it is very different in Tel Aviv than it is in London or in San Francisco, right? Their global needs are different. Their habits, their ways of celebrating are really nuanced. So it's important to kind of hold both of those things at once and think about what is the local identity and what makes each office location or functional team unique? But then how do you celebrate that on a global scale too, and really share those personal needs, those perspectives, and really create this dynamic approach where you're holding both local and global together? They really need to complement each other, feed one another. It's essential you're sharing those stories and really highlighting your team members. And this is also going to show where your diversity is bringing value, right? Where is your global unity bringing value? And then where is the uniqueness of each of your individuals really bringing value to the global team? So it's a push and pull in some ways, but a really organic one. And one way that we do this at WalkMe, a great example, is our organizational health survey. We run this once a year, and then we do pulse surveys in between to kind of keep an eye on how our employees are doing. But we're communicating it globally, right? We're doing it through general action planning. We're saying, everybody take this survey and we're going to share the overall results. But then we start breaking it down by function and by geography. So you're really getting from this global, how are we doing as WalkMe, to on my team, how are we doing? In my office, how are we doing? And really looking at, you know, these local messages and local action plans that are going to help the local team feeding into that bigger thing. So really, again, looking at that global within, local within global. Another way that we do this is lightning learnings. So I love video. I think video is such a great way to connect. If you can't do it, you know, on a Zoom or on a Microsoft Teams, if you can just even send videos back and forth. We have these lightning learnings that are like 1 to 2 minute videos. Can be everything from here's how I train my dog, or here's some basics on playing guitar, to here's the newest product that we released, or how to do this one thing in AI that I think is really cool. So it can be something big to something small, but these are made by our WalkMe team members. So just quick little videos, they highlight our employees, have them share their talents with the global team. It gives a lot of that kind of local nuance and flavor because they're filming somewhere, you know, around their homes or in the office. And it's just a great way to really build culture and bring diverse teams together from different regions, backgrounds, skill sets, and share knowledge. You get a little bit of personality, a little bit of fun, and it's just one more way to really think about that, both global and local, and feed into each other.
I love that. So what is it called again? It's called lightning?
Learnings. Yeah. So really thinking about like bite-sized content, right? We know that people don't really have time. And so our argument is you have 2 minutes. Right? If you could take 2 minutes to watch this video, you can learn something about another employee. And, you know, you might not watch all of them. That's why we have a bunch. But if there are ones that you're really interested in, you can learn a new trick or tool. You can learn something fun about a fellow employee. And it's a great way just to connect people over space and time.
I really love that. And I have not heard this in all of the sessions we've done. I haven't heard this. So I think that's great. And it gives a form of connectedness, right? That oftentimes, to your point, locally, gives, you know, that local, global feeling that a lot of organizations are striving for, right? Like they're striving for that togetherness and sense of connection and purpose. So really well done. Did you come up with that?
We did, yeah. It was just something that we were thinking about. How do we get in front of people? And then also you have this like synchronicity, right? Of if you're in Tokyo, you're awake before me in America. And so we can't really be, you know, we could be on at the same time, but we can't be on the same time as Israel, right? Like just by proxy. And so how do we do things that you can post a video, everyone can kind of see it within a 24-hour period and respond, and it's happening in real time for them, but it's not time sensitive for the whole globe. So it's a great way too to just be pushing out these kinds of moments of content where nobody feels like they're missing anything, because that is the struggle with any kind of live event when you have global teams.
That's terrific. It really helps everyone kind of stay on the same page, right? And not feel like they're missing out.
Yeah. That one team story, that global story, but with all that nuance and that really exciting collective diversity that you have on all these different levels.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So kudos to you for thinking of ways to keep the, I guess, the momentum going. Now, part of your role is also around engagement, right? What are some of the key components of successful employee engagement strategy in today's hybrid work environment?
Yeah, that's the key word there, right? It's the hybrid. And overall, you know, I'd point to general factors like personalization, flexibility, autonomy, work environment. It's kind of what everyone's talking about right now. But what I really want to bring to the conversation, this really key topic to me, is intentionality. So how are we really thinking about being intentional with the ways that we're engaging with our employees? And playing off of that kind of local concept, it's essential to be thinking about the different needs of your employees in their diverse working environments and be extremely intentional about engagement within that. So the value of working in office and collaborating with peers is super clear. There's a lot of value from like being in person, having that engagement. But depending on the size of your company and with advances in technology, I believe it's really essential to focus on the virtual experience first when you're thinking about global engagement. Because the reality is there will always be employees who are not face-to-face. So how are you keeping them connected and engaged to you rather than only focusing on who is in the office? You actually lose a lot of opportunity if you're just thinking about, you know, who's around you physically versus who in the company at large can you go to for help or can you engage with and collaborate with? So really, if you're working in a global company, by definition, you will not be face-to-face with all your colleagues. In office, engagement is always essential, but my strategic focus is really on this global experience that every single employee will have, regardless of location. So, you know, for you, when you're thinking about your engagement strategy, how are you fostering connection virtually? Are you holding events that can bring people together across geographies? You know, we were just talking about when you hold an event, you can usually do, you know, up to two time zones. So how are you bringing people together through those rather than even just doing virtual local sessions, right? You want to really engage that global team in those ways when you're being virtual. So to be truly successful as a collaborative global company, you want to foster that sense of connection across teams and locations consistently. And so from WalkMe, a couple examples, we have our Wellness at WalkMe program where we hold in-office sessions. So we do yoga, you know, all kinds of fun classes in the offices, but we also have global virtual sessions where we'll do, you know, we've done EFT tapping, we've done mental wellness, all kinds of cool things that is accessible to everyone. We always record. So even if you're not able to come live, you can have that. And it's a shared global experience and reference point. We also have a global recognition platform in partnership with WorkCrowd. Really love them if you've never heard of them. Team members go and recognize each other there based on values. And we actually send points, which are equal to dollars, to each other to reward positive behaviors. So all of our employees have 10 points a month, so $10 a month to give away to another employee. And so it's not just leaders that have that ability. And it's really important for us then that we're recognizing, you know, not just the people around you, but other teams, other locations, really fostering that sense of virtual community, even if you're not in offices together. And with that, we run contests, we do giveaways, other engagement pushes to drive employees to our WorkCrowd site.
And each nomination is then something for our quarterly award, which is tied to our values. It's got a cash prize. Our CEO announces at our town hall. It's just a really special way to acknowledge our employees for living our values. And again, that's really your global culture. It's who you are as one team, and then recognizing that on the local level. So really believe in recognition. And I love something where you can really see the recognition globally and see what other teams are doing and get engaged with others. And so with this, I kind of think of a virtual office, right? So if we think of walking into the virtual space that our employees use, like WorkProud is our recognition platform, so it's our break room. Slack or Teams or whatever you use is kind of like grabbing somebody in the hallway, right? Zoom or Google Meet is the meeting room where you're sitting down with people. And our knowledge base is like a file room or a library or resource space. So if you're thinking about these as digital spaces to interact, regardless of physical location, you know, how are you going to really intentionally work with others in these virtual spaces and think about how you're coming together regardless of location? And really, it's going to help you come together socially and collaboratively and create this bigger office that is kind of global. And another couple things I want to point out here, too, is technology can really help you. We have two other partners. Bright Breaks is one. It's a company that offers virtual 7-minute wellness breaks, both live and on demand. They'll literally put them in your calendar for you. It's amazing. And then Luna Park, which is a platform where people can go and host games for their teams or for individuals to connect, grow, and celebrate virtually. So we'll hold big virtual events for different regions and time zones to bring employees together. Really cool way to bridge gaps. And it, again, has nothing to do with being in office. It can all be virtual, which is great, too, for if you have remote employees, because even hybrid companies often have at least a few remote folks. So it's a great way to engage them, too. So while traditional in-office engagement is really important, I'm really focused on that intentionality in the modern workplace and how we engage virtually and really think about fostering that global connection and collaboration day to day.
Thank you so much, Madeline. I think the audience and the executives that are part of our audience, many that I'm speaking with oftentimes have fully remote environments, and this is something that is growing from a strategy perspective. And you also shared a number of like key partners that you've, you know, brought into the fold. So thank you for sharing them. I noted Bright Breaks and Luna Park as platforms that you've kind of
worked on. Well, as a great one for reward and recognition. And it is, we have this beautiful technological world where we have all these cool technologies that you can use. It's just finding what's right for your company, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Now, moving things along in terms of navigating change through communication, you've supported companies through mergers and acquisitions and IPOs. What role does internal communications play in guiding teams through these transitions?
Yeah, I feel like that's like lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, right? Mergers and acquisitions and IPOs. It's busy out here. I mean, even in the last 5 years alone, we've had, you know, a major global pandemic. We've had all of these things. And I think when we look at communications, what role doesn't it play, right? It's so easy to overlook comms or take it for granted and just kind of think, oh yeah, we'll send an email about it. But strategic, timely, clear communications are at the heart of every change management strategy, no matter what you're doing. And as AI transforms businesses and even careers everywhere, I find it really important to call out the vital and strategic role of internal communications for a company. And a little from my background, I started my career on a large comms team at the Disneyland Resort. So we served over 30,000 cast members at 2 theme parks, the Downtown Disney Shopping District, and 3 hotels. And so I came from this large team there to a 3,000-person global background screening company where I was the very first person to ever do internal comms. So there was no infrastructure at all. So I went from this very big developed team to nothing and really building it from the ground up. I did that there and then at WalkMe as well. And so really learning a lot about smaller businesses and global businesses and the process of going through all of these big business initiatives. But really, at the end of the day, it's about strategy. It's about ensuring that your employees have the information they need to get their work done. let alone to feel connected to their team and to the company at large. It's that global piece, right? Who's your identity within this company? To enabling change initiatives like executive transitions or reductions in force. Things will happen at your business. It will. And so how are you ensuring that your employees are feeling valued or feeling well-informed and ready to do their best work, that there's not this sense of insecurity, and really communications is the key. And we all kind of know this, but it's not just what you're communicating, but how you're doing it. So the real nuance of strategic communications is diving deeply into not just the exact wording, which is extremely important and very delicate if you're communicating cross-culturally or globally, right? But also the channel, the messenger, the timing. We are not ChatGPT. I am 0% concerned about getting replaced by ChatGPT. I think it will help us make a lot of great first drafts and actually make my job a lot easier. But it's all about the strategy behind it and how you're communicating. So, you know, we look at how information is cascaded and when and to who, and that can completely change an outcome or a reaction. If you're in a merger or an acquisition, I've been on both sides. And whether you're welcoming in and integrating new team members and trying to make that as smooth as possible, or, you know, right now, WalkMe just got purchased by SAP. We're 1,000 people globally and they're 100,000. So we're becoming part of this much larger organization. We're taking time to manage expectations, to share as much information as possible, but also not sharing too much, right? Because if things change, you might cause dissatisfaction. So really easing concerns as much as you can while not making any promises you can't keep, but being transparent is so key. And it's really nuanced work. Every single company is going to be different. Companies are like people. They're constantly changing. And as things shift around for you, for the economy, for your business, the stock market, any of it, you're going to react to the market, and you'll also react to your own internal makeup and any internal changes. It's like culture and engagement. Communications has to be focused on what's here now and what's likely to be here next as the business is evolving and growing. So having an experienced communications team at your back is really what it's about. It can help the leaders navigate this change and make sure your employees are having a good experience through all of it. Something I see really commonly is that I have executives that'll be like, we've communicated this a ton. What are you talking about? I've talked about it for the last 3 weeks. And they have, but they've talked about it with other executives, or they've talked about it with their directs. And so really thinking about how are you getting to every single part of the business? How are you ensuring that, you know, that every facet, every functional area, every geographic area is really getting what they need to do their best work. And so, yeah, I have plenty of stories if you want to hear them, but it's a big complicated thing, and comms is essential.
Well, it also sounds like communication is so key for building trust, right?
Yes.
And if you really want a strong culture to flourish, you need to have that underlying trust in the organization. And communication is a big part of that.
Yeah. And I would say two values, right? If you don't have really strong values, those are supported by your engagement team and communications team. Is your CEO talking about the values? Are your leaders talking about them? Do you have recognition programs tied to them? I mean, we've had some really major times when our values have really lifted us up as a company and helped us get through anything. And so I think that's a key part of it too, is really having a stable culture and values and highlighting that in your comms.
That's fantastic. I feel like we could talk about this topic a lot. We're gonna move on to another very important area that's, I think right now it's an interesting topic, right? The topic around DEI. How do you think it's evolved now, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace, in the modern workplace?
Yeah, it's such a good question and such a timely topic, right? I mean, this is also where I kind of lean in on the comms part of my background. You know, I talked before about compromise, and I think DEI has become this really divisive topic, but it shouldn't be, right? It's about something that I think we all can kind of agree on from a business perspective. So if we even kind of look at breaking it down, diversity is about honoring our differences, which is, we know this brings value to business. Equity is about ensuring that we're taking care of everyone within our business and community, regardless of their differing needs. And inclusion is really bringing everyone together so that we can get the best possible results, hearing all those diverse voices and really making the most of what they have to offer. So when we take these concepts, right, if we even divorce them from the words themselves, this kind of DEI thing, you know, how do we make that a little less scary and just really look at the fundamental ideas? So it's not DEI or DEIB. We were starting to add letters on. We still need an acronym. Like if we really look at it as, you know, even to kind of joke, a rose by any other name would smell as sweet, right? So what is DEI in 2025? Like how do we take it into our business? And I would encourage organizations to look inward for the answers to that question. If we each look at our internal corporate culture, our values, again, values is so key. How are we honoring what is real while also looking at what's aspirational? You know, values especially, you want to do what is present, but also maybe we're not as collaborative as we should be or not as inclusive as we should be. How do we start doing more of that? And really either evaluating or reevaluating your corporate values is a great way to ensure alignment culturally and find ways to kind of embed fundamental principles of concepts like equity or inclusion or belonging into the DNA of your organization through values unique just to your business. So it's not these, you know, big global words. It's something that feels real to you. You know, we have, you could call it being nice, you could call it being empathetic, whatever. We call it act with empathy at WalkMe, right? And so what does that mean for you? And then actually, I just recently, within the last week, saw something really cool from Harvard Business Review, looking at diversity specifically as complexity. And I really liked that. So rather than like trying to check a box with diversity metrics like age, gender, ethnicity, you know, really thinking about diversity as a mix of inherent and acquired traits. So inherent traits are out of your control, like where you were born, your language, whether you're right or left-handed, kind of just very specific things like that versus acquired can vary throughout your life. So acquired traits are like second languages, whether you're a caregiver for elderly or for children, your current economic status. Both inherent and acquired traits have a really powerful shaping influence about how we understand ourselves, others, and how we interact in the world. And so really thinking, rather than maybe even diversity, but of complexity and dynamism there, and really thinking about how each of us understands ourselves and engages with others around us and that perspective. As a unique point, if we're really looking for a truly diverse mix of employees in our organizations, will increase complexity and therefore enhance problem solving, creativity, collaboration. It's just another way of kind of looking at it. And what I think is really interesting here is this idea of complexity creating friction. And that's really what we're talking about with some of this diversity business of like, well, how does it really help your business? Is it's creating friction in a business environment in a positive way, right? Like if people think differently, we're going to approach situations differently with fresh perspectives. We're going to be kind of forced to innovate, forced to compromise in that way where like maybe it's not win, 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 win. But if everybody's winning a little bit and we're doing something really cool together, we're innovating, we're trying new things, you're being more open to that when you have a more complex or diverse team. So if we're looking at friction as this key success metric for a business, that means not only do you need to hire complex or diverse individuals, but also you have to enable and empower them to speak up and contribute their full selves to the business. And so it's not just bringing in the right talent, but setting them up for success, which to me, that's the equity and inclusion piece of DE&I. So if we're looking for complex individuals, how are we then ensuring that they're taken care of once they're part of your organization? Whatever we want to call it, it's just essential that we're thinking about it. So, you know, we know that the most successful parts of DEI programs are often in foundational shifts within organization too. So if you're doing great hiring practices, how are you training and developing your teams? Making sure that those opportunities are going to everyone, looking at pay equity and benefits and policy changes. None of that's going everywhere, anywhere, right? And so if we're really looking at ways to, you know, train leaders to speak well and communicate well, how are you talking about important issues? Who hears announcements first or, you know, soonest? There are a lot of ways that you can signal to your employees how they matter and who matters. And so it's really just thinking about how do you take care of your team members in the best way possible? And whether that's with complexity or inclusivity or whatever you want to call it within your business, the future of DEI to me is just about honoring business priorities while striving to make sure that all employees feel valued, engaged, and empowered. And that's something that is fully free of any acronym and something that I think we can all strive toward.
That's fantastic. I love the fact that you have such a strong focus on inclusion and making sure that everyone's voice is heard, right?
Well, it's one thing to show up to the room, but if you're not actually contributing, you know, what's the point, right?
Yeah, you're 100% correct. Now, we're going to actually move forward, fast forward a little bit in terms of getting back into engagement, right? What type of challenges have you faced in maintaining high levels of engagement? And how have you overcome them?
Yeah, that is a big question. And so, you know, there's a million examples I could use. From, you know, we've talked about some of the mergers, we've gone through IPOs, but really it's all kind of the same, whether you're doing a really big corporate thing, whether there's a pandemic, whether you're going through a RIF, if you're approaching it with empathy, transparency, and a strategic mindset, that is what I feel is really key, you know? So looking at the strategy, of course, you're going to look at what's best for your business, look at it from a really high level, where your executive team is leading you, all of that, right? It's essential you're looking at the big picture and really taking a meta view of your business to make the best decision for all of your stakeholders. But once you've done that, you know, how are you communicating those decisions? How are you really focusing on empathy and transparency in the ways that you're monitoring your team and enabling them to do their best work during this time of change? How are you acknowledging what people are feeling and seeing what they need to hear in the moment? And of course, you can't always address their needs in the moment. Sometimes you have to communicate less or more depending on, you know, what's going on that meta view. But sometimes even just saying, hey, we don't know, this is what we can tell you now, is really, really key. It's building that trust and transparency as much as is possible. I'm personally an advocate for sharing as much as you can and just being really open and honest. And then just as things change, tell everybody that it's changing. And people will be, from my experience, people will be open to it and be ready to pivot and to take those changes in stride if your leadership team is being really open. It's when you're not being open that there's a lot of fear and insecurity, and you'll see attrition, right? So I think the more that you can be really open, it's going to help. So, you know, the trust for the employees, they're feeling informed, even if key decisions haven't been made or some things are in flux, they're going to feel like they're valued and you're hearing whatever the newest thing is. And then personally, I just like to use the kind of metaphor of a garden for employee engagement. It's very easy, and executives get to lose track very quickly of just wanting things to be different immediately. And the reality is, if we really think about it, culture's not like that. You can't just tell someone to be different or make a change and expect everything to be night and day the next day. So really thinking about the time it takes to plant seeds and to grow a garden is a nice metaphor for engagement. You know, it requires careful planning, continuous attention, and a balance of nurturing and adaptation. You've got to plan and prepare and think about what you're growing before you start anything and really understand the needs of your garden or your workforce. You've got to provide the right environment, just like plants need sunlight, water, nutrients. Your team needs clear communication, opportunities for growth, recognition, support from leadership. You've got to just be there constantly. You've got to keep an eye on it at all times. Make sure you're addressing feedback, that you're, you know, making sure that there's constant nurturing and that any little shifts within the org are being addressed, because little things can become big things quite quickly, right? And adapting to change. There's got to be flexibility. You have to be able to adapt. Things will come up. Challenges will come up. And how do you, you know, offer what you need? Maybe you got to put in some more stakes for those, prop up some of those flowers, whatever that looks like. Really making sure, oh, we need a town hall all of a sudden, or we need to, you know, pivot and make sure that we're communicating in the right way. And also just really recognizing success. When those flowers are blooming, are you taking the time to really celebrate them, invite people over to the garden, share on social media, whatever that looks like, for recognizing success within the team and even outside of it. And as I mentioned, knowing it's not going to happen overnight. You plant a seed, you have to wait and tend to it. And you'll see that things will evolve in the long run. So, you know, a values exercise you do today, it might take a full year before you truly see those values integrated, and you have to be prepared for that, and take those step-by-step challenges and really do what you can. And finally, just want to comment on that, like, having a successful engagement strategy really requires that patience, that consistency, and the willingness to adapt. Because it will change. You could wake up one morning and there's suddenly a pandemic and everyone is pivoting and the government's telling you to work from home and your business has always been in person. Anything could happen truly in the modern workforce. And so just really being prepared in that way, where you know that you're confident in your team and your culture, and that you're not afraid of what's coming. You feel confident in it.
Yeah. I hear the theme, like, intentionality,
right, is key. And being patient is also key. And then consistency. So all of those things will lead to, I think, success ultimately. And that's what, that's why you've been so successful, because I think you really embody all of those traits.
Thank you so much. And I'll just say too, with the garden, it's your garden, right? So like, that's why I don't want to say do this or do that, because there's no one-stop-shop answer. And there shouldn't be, right? It's all about your company and your growth and what your employees need. And so you have to tailor it to you.
Yeah, that's so true. It's that you're listening and you're, I guess, acting accordingly to what's going on within the organization. So you've been in your role for a number of years. What are, like, looking into not just the past, but also now looking into the future, what trends or innovations do you see shaping the future of employee engagement and internal communications?
Yeah, I think really just exactly what we're talking about here with well-being, igniting well-doing. It's human centricity in the age of AI, right? We're really stepping into this brave new world. And as we look at that, what is the relationship between employee and employer? I think employees, especially as they're like a Gen Z and some of the younger generations coming into the workforce, they are expecting more than ever before from their employers as far as benefits, values, alignment, all of these things. And at the same time, employers are expecting more productivity than ever before from their workers. So there's a lot of expectations. And then we have AI in the mix, which is hopefully going to save us a lot of time. But what does this human new deal really look like? And how will AI enable us to work smarter, not harder? So really looking at, for me too, I think a key will be how we're asking employees to use the free time enabled by AI, right? I think it's going to be very easy to say, okay, we'll go do more work. Let's go be more productive. And yeah, that's great. But could we also be using it for development or for breaks or for wellness? What does a balance look like as companies are really eager to roll out AI? How do you actually leverage these new tools and make the most of them rather than just getting overwhelmed by what's coming? AI can be a very scary thing for employees that aren't educated on how to use it and aren't being really informed about what this looks like within their company, what the expectations are, and how it's going to benefit them, right? This is an exciting, positive thing, or it should be. WalkMe, for example, works in digital adoption. So we're always talking about how we make technology work for employees versus the other way around. It's all about the user experience and how technology can enable us versus the other way around, right? Or we're opening up more time for connection, for collaboration, for more personal growth. So I think, you know, on top of that, AI and better digital tools are going to give us better insights into data. It's really notoriously hard to measure engagement and communications. We have email opens, we have views, right? When we look at engagement, there are so many events that even just because they exist, they have a net positive impact, right? I might not go to the yoga class, but I like knowing it's there and that it's an option, that my company cares about my health and well-being. So now with all this data, we're actually able to really do some predictive analytics, look at, you know, where engagement might dip or where turnover might happen, and help us be a little more proactive. So that's very exciting to me, to be able to tell the story in data in ways that we just haven't before. And we can really prove the ROI and the value that I'm talking about in new ways. And on top of that, I think personalization is going to be a really key factor as well. So I serve on the HR.com advisory board for reward and recognition, and we've been talking a lot about how technology can really help boost personalization for engagement activities. Kind of like the lightning learning, it's all about that bite-sized, in the moment, you know, personalized content. How do you get something that really works for you when you need it? So how do we get the employee what they need as soon as they need it, or even before they need it, right? And AI is really going to help with that. And as communications and engagement professionals, how do we adapt to maximize this impact and look for these opportunities for personalized, just-in-time, really resonant communications and engagement opportunities? And then, you know, I also want to say, don't lose the core of what we know is true, right? Just because we have AI and all this cool stuff, let's not stop doing what we're doing. Let's, you know, maintain our wellness and benefits programs, continue real-time engagement with leadership, global connections across geographies and time zones, as we've talked about. Strong global recognition and rewards programs are always key. Continuous feedback, as much as you ever can, be listening and responding to your employees. And then, of course, you know, wherever you can, do in-person support. It's always nice to be in person and to have those connections if you can. And so really, you know, to me, the future of
employee engagement and internal comms is more personalized, it's more data driven, and it's really flexible. Innovations like AI and new virtual tools are really helping us be more engaging, be more transparent. But it's about connection. It's about being human in all this technology. And so really keeping that humanity and that personalization as the key.
All right. Okay, we're near the tail end of the conversation. And I'd love to know, Madeline, if you were to roll back time and give yourself some advice to your 20-something self, what would you share with yourself?
Oh, to really embrace my
embrace my fierce courage. I think there were times in my early career where I struggled with competing feedback or just really personal feedback about who I was or how I showed up. And I've grown as a professional. And as I've grown, it's so clear that there will always be leaders who aren't as supportive as they could be. That's the nice way of saying it. I was told early in my career to smile more during team meetings, or, then I was also told to be less bubbly. So, a little confusing. And what's a young professional to do when you're hearing a lot of this competing feedback from the same person, ironically? And for women especially, but truly for everyone, it's just so important to recognize that no single person or even group of people can ever define your value. You define your value every single day with how you show up and how you choose to interact with others. I really believe in learning from everything and knowing that sometimes the worst leaders will actually teach you the most, but you don't necessarily have to learn the hard way. So, pick up what you can and believe in yourself and your abilities, though always with a humble nature and a growth mindset, open to learning new things and self-correcting, because as soon as you think you're the smartest person in the room, you've already failed, in my opinion. And really having the fierce courage to stand up for yourself, though, and for what you believe in when the moment is right. So coming in with that humility, but that courage. And for me, dyeing my hair bright pink a few years ago really locked that in for me as a professional and much further in my career now. And it's pretty much impossible to hide when you've got bright pink hair. So it was definitely a commitment to myself just to truly show up in every room I walk into and bring my authentic self to every interaction. So it's been a huge blessing for me and has really impacted the way that I believe, we can all show up and contribute our best selves at work.
I love that. You're an inspiration to so many. And I think that you're doing things in such an authentic, intentional, kind way. It comes across in having met you during our prep call and just speaking with you today. It's evident your level of authenticity. So thank you, Madeline, for sharing your insights today.
Thank you so much. And thank you for creating this forum where we can talk about these important issues and really help level set and come together with different, whether you call them diverse or complex, different opinions and perspectives.
Thank you for joining us on the Wellbeing Ignites Well-Doing podcast, brought to you by OOT Social Health. We hope today's conversation has sparked new insights and inspired you to prioritize well-being in your journey to organizational success. Remember, when well-being ignites, well-doing follows. Stay tuned for more episodes as we continue to explore the power of human-centric leadership. Until then, be well and lead with purpose.